a Voice of the People show. My name is Terry Tackett. We're going to soon be running down the host of the show here, Linda Sims. In the meantime, I'm going to turn it over to our guest here because honestly, I'm not sure what topic she was going to discuss. So I'm just going to turn it over to the guest here. You can introduce yourself. And
hi, I'm Dacia Wade. I'm just filling in for my mother, I guess, Linda Sims.
That's what I said. We're both kind of flying by the seat of our pants here. We don't really know. We're trying to run Linda down.
Here she is.
I think she went down to check on a guest. Oh, she's here now. So now we can get on with the show here.
Wow, isn't that nice? All those commercials are gone. Yes, okay. Well, hello, everybody. Today is Monday. We are in a new location, and we're trying to flag down guests, trying to make sure that they can find our new location. Believe it or not, I couldn't find them. So we will carry on. Thank you. I don't know how far Terry got, but this is Linda Sims here on WWGH 107.1 FM radio. And this is The Chat. We stream live on the web, www.wwgh1071.com. You can also download free app called TuneIn on any electronic device, cell phone, iPhone, laptop, or computer, and search WWGH. I have my panelist, Dacia Wade. She accompanied me on Mondays, and also Jamila Harris, and she is absent today. I pray that my guest, H. Good, will be here. Last we communicated, he was coming, and he's the one I'm trying to locate out there so that he can find exactly where we are. Okay, nothing like new beginnings, right? Right. So hopefully those of you who are listening, thank you for your faithfulness. And I say welcome to those of you who are new today. Let me share with you those who faithfully support The Chat. Starting with Chappie's Hydraulic Hose Specialist, LLC, 1325 North Main Street, here, Marion, Ohio. Telephone number there is 740-382-8552. We have Logos Christian Ministries, Pastor Jackie Peterson, 582 Lee Street, Marion, Ohio. Her telephone number is 740-223-1515 or www.logoschristianministries.com. They have an ongoing announcement, and it is their free produce, which happens every second Saturday of every month at Logos Christian Ministries. The time is from 12 p.m. to 2 p.m. They have fresh food. Please show up with your identification, whether it's your state ID or your driver's license, and be ready to give account of the people who are in your home. Okay, we're looking forward to a new month coming very soon. We also have Inspect Ohio, your one-call home inspection company for your real estate needs, with 25 years of experience working for you. They are out of LaRue, Ohio, and that telephone number is 740-262-0939. Yes, and I thank them for their support, and they've been around since almost day one of us being on the air. I have a thought for you today, and it's titled Tolerance. And it goes like this. I read this last Tuesday, and someone said it was kind of deep, and you can really take it even further. Tolerance means to bounce back, even when thrown against a very hard wall. The ability to do this comes from sensing that life is a game and that all things move in cycles. What is uncomfortable now will soon change. Tolerance is like saying yes to the game and enjoying it. So I don't know how you want to break that down, if you can break that down. I thought the first sentence was really a wow punch. Tolerance means to bounce back, even when thrown against a very hard wall. And I'm sure a lot of us have been thrown against a wall, or even felt like we have. I'm sure a lot of you can, will have experienced that. And I'm going to turn my attention to one of my panelists, Dacia Wade. And how are you doing today, Dacia?
I'm doing fine.
Good. Good. I'm glad you could come and be a part of the show.
Me too. I'm glad to be here.
Yes. And I hope our guest find his way. I hope.
Amen.
I hope I gave him good enough instructions. And he hasn't called to say he wouldn't be here. So we'll just carry on until he comes. H. Good is the author of a book called Just Quit, It Will Make You Feel Better. And when you hear the title, Just Quit, it kind of makes you wonder, why would he write a book with that type of title, right? How did you feel when I first told you about this book, Dacia?
I don't know how I felt when you first told me about it, but after you telling me about it, and even today, just like looking at the book, Just Quit, I'm thinking about how we make excuses, like when we're trying to stop doing something, or we're quitting something, or we're putting something down. Well, I've been struggling with this, or I've been dealing with this for this long, but I understand, just quit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
'Cause we do have the power over our own bodies and what we do choose to do and what we don't choose to do. So just quit. I should be telling myself that when it comes to cigarettes, instead of trying to find something else to smoke and going here and there and doing this and doing that, just quit.
Yeah, well, yeah, I guess you could use that analogy on almost anything in your life that you go through, you know. And
I don't know exactly what he's talking about in his book, but personally, a lot of things, just quit.
Yeah, just quit. And, you know, I think when you talk about just quit in the sense that you're talking, it's a process. It's something that you really have to bring yourself to, because it's something no one can make you do, or it's all within you. And I, you agree with that? It's all within you.
To assert, yeah, because you have the power over the what you do.
Yeah.
You have the power over what you do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you can't make nobody else quit.
True.
But you have the power over what you do.
Right.
So it is a process if you make it a process.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It don't have to be a process.
Right. That's so true. That is so true. And I think in a sense, what he's writing in his book, Quit It May Make You Feel Better, I think it's someone going through or trying to do something. Maybe it's a dream of theirs, and maybe they're trying to start their own company. Maybe they're trying to write their own book. Maybe they're trying to go around the world. Maybe that's their dream. And every time they turn around, there's a roadblock. And I think they come to a point where they just get fed up with it, and they feel like, well, since I'm not gaining anything, I'm not going anywhere, at least fast enough, because sometimes we're in a hurry to get there, right? To be a success, to be a millionaire. Now it's about being a billionaire, you know. It's like $1 million is like chump change. They give that away every day, just about, right? You hear about people picking up a scratch off, never played the lottery before. Oh, $1 million. It would be nice though, wouldn't it? Of course it would be nice, but yeah, it wouldn't. It's billionaire status today, people, or multi-million dollars, or, you know, billionaire status. That's what gets everybody's attention now. But when you are trying to change or trying to prosper, trying to turn the page from the ho-hum, or maybe you feel like your life just needs a boost. You want to change directions in the way you're going, and it's just not working for you. So that could be, let me see that book. That could be something that you could, like, feel like, okay, I'm not going to do this anymore. Okay. And it says on the back, just quit. If you are wondering why you are not getting the results you desire in your personal and professional life, this book is for you. For many years, I floundered around looking for answers on how I could live a life of purpose. This short read will encourage you to examine your decisions and habits and make the exciting changes necessary to live the life you were born to live. This is a book I needed in high school. Now, those are his synopsis of what the book is about. How I could live my life of purpose. Now, do you think we all have a purpose in life?
Yes, I do. I think it takes some of us a long time to tap into that purpose. Or even, I don't know, I think when we come into the world, we come in, I believe we come in performing our purpose, but we don't know it is a gift or a talent. It's just something that we do a lot of times. It just comes naturally to us. But yeah, I do believe we all come here with a purpose.
Yes, I do too. Whether you know it or not, you know, whether you even take the time to try to find out what it is. And like they were saying yesterday in our service, you know, what is my purpose? Why did God even bring me here in the first place? What does he really want me to do? How can I find my purpose? Hold on.
Yes, well, you can find your purpose. Soul searching, seeking, praying, something that you're good with or good at doing sometimes can be part of your purpose, or what you're supposed to do here on this earth. Mm-hmm. It could be something that you're good with, you right, know, right. Whether it's talking to people. I mean, people get paid to talk to people every day.
True.
But that could be your purpose on this earth, to talk to people, you mm-hmm, know. Mm-hmm. There's like so many things, but I believe that our purpose comes naturally. I don't believe we have to go and take. We might have to train to perfect our purpose or to grow our purpose, but I believe it's something that comes naturally. Like, you don't, it's not nothing that you don't know nothing about. Okay. Like, some things come to you naturally. Like, before I went to massage therapy, it came to me, like, the things that I learned in massage therapy, I was already doing, mm-hmm. you know. The first test that they gave us was we had to be blindfolded, and we sat in a circle, and we all got a lemon. We had to put our initials on those lemons. But after we put our initials on the lemons, they blindfolded us, and we had to feel that lemon mm-hmm. and feel all the curvatures and bumps and grooves in that lemon with our blindfolds on and pass it to our right. Mm-hmm. And so we had to pass those lemons to our right until we got our right one in our hand.
Oh, without looking.
Without looking.
And we're blindfolded. Could you tell?
You had to feel for the different bumps and things. That, you know, there was four people in the class that had that one lemon in their hand that they wrote their initial on, and I was one of them.
Really? So you were able to locate what
my
was
lemon
yours?
By touching it without seeing it.
Really?
Yes. So naturally,
uh-huh.
you know.
Right.
With our memory patterns and everything, it's like it's natural things that come to us, you know. But yes, I was one of the four that had my lemon in my hand.
I don't even know if I could critique the feel of a lemon to that degree that I would know it when it came back around to me and I can't see it. It would be hard even if you could see it.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah.
That is amazing that you were able to do that. And you said there were three others.
Mm-hmm. There were three other people.
Wow.
That had their lemon in their hand. Because once I got mine, I set it between my legs and kept passing it until our time ran out. I knew what my, when mine came back to me, I kept mine.
You knew it.
Uh-huh.
Wow. So what does that say about your purpose? You know your purpose when it comes to you, right? When you're working in it, or
well, no, I'm saying it's something that kind of comes naturally.
Something comes naturally. Right.
I believe it is.
You don't have to work hard at it.
You don't have to work hard at it.
Right, right.
You know.
Right. Right.
It's a gift.
Right. I understand that.
And the Bible says your gift to make room for you.
Yes.
Now you got to make room for your gift.
That's powerful. Your gift will make room for you.
So if I'm going to school to learn something or something like that, I'm making room for my gift.
Mm-hmm.
But my gift should make room for me.
Right, right, right. And this is saying, you know, how I could live a life of purpose. And he looked for answers for years. Examine your decisions and your habits and make the exciting changes necessary to live the life you were born to live. So when you find your purpose, that should, would you say, lead you to the life you were supposed to live? Once you find your purpose, then you should be able to live that life.
But you can be grown and then just find out, oh, I've been doing this my whole life.
Mm-hmm.
And not even realize you've been doing it your whole life.
That was your purpose.
But that was your purpose.
Right.
That's what you've been doing since you've been here.
Mm-hmm.
From a child on up.
Right. Wow. People, we make life so hard sometimes, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
We just do. We make life so hard. Like you said, you could have been doing it your whole life and then thinking, you're not even satisfied with it. Or what, you know, I need to find my purpose. Even though you're doing it, you're still thinking, I don't know what it is. And I need to find my purpose.
Because a lot of things that we do naturally, we don't look at it as a gift or as talent or as special.
Something special.
Or as something needed by others. You know, we don't look at everything that we do on a normal basis as, oh, I can market this.
Yes, yes.
You know.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I feel you on that. Absolutely. And I think same with myself. Some things that came natural to me, I didn't realize it was my gift. It's just something that I do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like the decorating. It was just something that I did. You know?
And you could market it.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
A lot of things can be marketed.
Yes,
And what's that thing called? What we didn't do? Patent,
yes.
You know.
And they make it so hard to get a patent. It's so expensive. Oh, my gosh.
And then, you know, like certain things is just, I believe that our gifts and our talents is our purpose.
Mm-hmm. And they coincide and work together.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that makes sense.
And because when, in the parable, there was the one that had the five, and there was the one that had, what, two? And one got one talent, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And the five worked his five and got
10.
And ended up with five more. But he,
right,
before his master came back to check on them talents, he worked his five and learned five other things working the five that he had.
Right.
You know. Then on top of that, he got another one. From the master, right?
Mm-hmm.
But see, when we're doing the things that we come in the world to do, just doing that teaches us something else.
Mm-hmm.
So how he was working his one talent, it gave him another one, and then I gave him another one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's supposed to make room for you, and that means your finances are taken care of and everything else. So I don't know.
That's true. That's so true. That is so true. I, you know, sometimes I wonder, why do we make life so hard? Even making choices is hard. it is hard making choices. You know, it's hard trying to get your life in line with your purpose, with your gifts, with your talents, especially if you're not even on that course, on the right course. Okay, so now I know what I need to do. How do I get over there? How do I get there? You have any suggestions? Now I know.
Well, now you got to start operating in it.
What? Even my habits, you know, I got these habits that have followed me all the years.
But once you start operating in your talent and your gift, it should lead you in the way that you need to go to stay in it. It should lead you then.
Mm-hmm. If anyone would like to call in, please call 740-383-9944 if you would like to be a part of our conversation here today. Right now we're talking about just quit. It may make you feel better, and maybe not. Yeah, and not only that, we're going to shift the conversation here in a minute. We're going to go back to tolerance, which was the thought for today. And it started out with, tolerance means to bounce back even when thrown against a very hard wall. And that also, to me, has something to do with the book of the author who hasn't not showed up yet.
To be able to bounce back.
Yeah. Yeah, because he was hit with a heavy blow. And like I was saying earlier, many of us have been hit with heavy blows, like being thrown against a wall. It may not be in the same area, but we've had things that happen in our life that we could not explain, and or how we reacted to it. It can knock all the wind out of you. You don't actually have to be physically thrown against a wall to experience the feeling of what that could mean to you, or what it would feel like to you. How do I recover from that? How do I get up and move on? You know, it could mean life to someone who's listening. How can a person get up and move on?
Well, first of all, in that point in time in our lives, I think that's when we first come to realize that we need help. Mm-hmm. We can't do it by ourselves.
Right.
We need someone else to help us. And I think a lot of times, even though it's in us to go to God, a lot of times we don't. And I don't understand why we don't, but it's in us to go to Him. Naturally, it's in us to go to Him.
Yeah.
He said He's the light that lit every man's way into the world. So it has to be natural for us to go to Him in our time of need.
Or at least you would think so.
Yeah, you would think so.
And sometimes we go to our friend, we go to our neighbor, we go to our mom, our dad, our sister, our brother, you know. We go to other people.
But at the end of the day, when we have been thrown against a wall, a brick wall, and we just, everything is shattered around us, at that point in time, we need a savior.
Mm-hmm. We sure do.
When we realize that we cannot do it on our own, we need a savior. Like when you watch TV, when people can't do things on their own, they call a hero.
Right.
Or they call this person, or they do this, or they, you know, call the fire department. They can't get a fire out or something. When they always call for that assistance to help deliver them out of that situation. Mm-hmm. But in what we need to realize is we need a savior. And it takes us a long time to realize that sometimes.
Yes. Yes, it does. You're going to be down and out. Out for the count of 10. Sometimes before you look up and realize, I'm not by myself. And I've heard people say, oh, Lord, if you are real, do this or do that. You know, let me know. Hit the wall, or, you know, something like that. I know many of us have heard those stories, and maybe we've even said it out of our own mouths.
And people said that he's done it. things have failed or things have hit the wall or when they ask for things, that he's showed them a sign.
Right, right.
You know.
Okay. Absolutely. So I do want to talk about a couple news stories. I don't know if you've been watching the news. Have you?
Kind of.
What about the young lady who is an officer of the law and she goes into the wrong apartment? She thinks that this apartment is hers. And she walks in and she sees an African-American young man in the apartment. And she begins to shoot him because she thinks that he's in her apartment.
She's guilty. I believe she knew exactly what apartment she was in. In my opinion, she did. As a matter of fact, I think I seen a news clip where saying that, like, earlier before that night, she was arguing with that man, saying he didn't belong in that apartment building and things like that.
Really?
Yes. And that there was a conflict with him being in that building, period, because of his skin color.
Oh, so you think, from what you've heard, you think that this is racial?
I do. I don't care how many hours she done worked, she ain't walked up in the wrong apartment.
And you know, there are a lot of apartment buildings that look the same.
I know. She ain't walked to the wrong apartment. Not with her key.
Okay.
now that
was profound, right?
She did walk in the wrong apartment.
Was the door open or ajar?
That's what I'm saying. She got off of work. You getting off work, you getting out your car, you go to your apartment, what you do? You grab your keys
and open it up.
You get your key and you didn't walk in nobody else's in the wrong apartment with your key.
Right.
Unless the door was open. But if the door was open, you didn't use the key.
I haven't even heard that brought up yet. I know it's controversy and it's been on the news all day because, you know, she's on trial right now about this. And I really didn't know, but I thought that it was really hard to walk into somebody else's house and say, because it looks different. It smells different. You know how, what your
even
doormat
the way
looks
it's set
like.
Up.
Yeah. You know how the doormat that you left at your door, no one else should be there. And I'm like, oh my. So you're saying, from what you've heard, that she went there intentionally?
I believe she did. Someone told me, I didn't actually hear it on the news, but someone told me that they had heard that there was an altercation between him and her earlier that day about him not belonging there. So I don't know how true that is. I just still know that I can't walk in your house with my key.
True.
I don't care how much it look like.
That's true. Because some houses have different keys for different doors. And you might not be able to get in the back door with your front door key.
Right.
Whew, well, let us move on. Wow. I don't know if that's going to come up or if it has come up over the news or during this trial. Because if that does surface, that could be a game changer. That could be a game changer. So what do you think about our president and the impeachment process that they're bringing against him for talking to these people about getting information on Vice President Joe Biden?
I think it's a waste of time, energy, money, and emotions. His term is almost up. He didn't win the election in the first place, not by the votes. So just don't put him back in office. Why waste all that money that basically we worked for? If you want to do something with that money, give it back to me, because I need it, okay? But why waste all that money and time and effort and media time and all that stuff on impeaching someone that's on their way out of office in the first place?
Well, and even if they do go through the process, they say
it's going to take until it's time for him to get out anyway.
And then they say it doesn't mean he will be unseated. He still may be able to sit and be president and be reelected.
That's what I'm saying. It doesn't make... What is the purpose?
I hear you, and I understand. You know, like you said, that's taxpayers' money. Do we really want our money to go out and continue to do things that really not going to benefit the people?
It don't make any sense. It doesn't make any... He's on his way out of office anyway. Unless you want him back in there. Because the people didn't vote for him in the first place. And that's just where we are. Mm-hmm. The people didn't vote for him in the first place. Everyone's like, now how did he win that election? Well, evidently somebody wanted him to sit in that White House besides the people. So whoever put him in there, just tell him he's not sitting in there no more. I mean, I don't, just kick him out.
Tell him.
You don't need to waste all that money and
take
time
it from
and
Daisy. Just tell him. Don't put him back in there, right?
Grab him by his top lip and drag him all up out of there. I mean, come on, let's go. It's hard to go.
I guess that's one way of doing it, you know. I just feel like this. And he didn't deny it. I mean, I have to give him respect for that. This, as far as I have known and followed Donald Trump, he doesn't lie about what he's doing. He just tells you straight out, and it's up to you whether you can accept it or not. And he still said he didn't see anything wrong with what he asked them about or to do.
No, and he said the Fourth Amendment gives him the right to do whatever he wants. Now we need to look at what the Fourth Amendment says then.
Okay.
I don't know what it says, but he says it gives him the right to do what he wants. Ain't that what he said?
I think so. I didn't follow all of it.
He named an amendment. Yeah, he said the Fourth Amendment gives him the right.
And then I'm sure
he don't have the right. He don't have the right to do whatever he wants.
Mm-hmm.
But he said the Fourth Amendment give him that right.
Give him the right. Well, the Fourth Amendment can be pulled up on Google. That's for sure. Show us the Fourth Amendment. Google. I want to you can pull that up if you want. When you do, we'll go back to that. I wanted to bring up 10 people die of drug overdoses in Ohio over 26 hours time frame. The deaths mark a second weekend of mass overdose deaths following two suspected cases of fentanyl-laced drugs in New York and Pittsburgh. Now, this is nationwide. This is covering the whole United States area. Now, are we getting any closer to conquering or defeating the war on drugs or slowing down drugs from being on the street, or even people using drugs? Are these people who are new using drugs for the first time, or are these repeated offenders of that? You know, because they do have this Narcan stuff, Narcon, where they can bring them back to life, or people just careless about this and continuously insist on doing drugs. How do you feel about that?
Well, on one point in part, I can't speak on it because I haven't never been on a drug that my body depended on.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know.
You haven't taken that. Anything to that extent that you couldn't stop taking it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And that's true.
Mm-hmm.
Even with drinking. I think I was drinking by choice. It wasn't that I needed it. I could stop at any time, the whole time.
Right.
I don't...
So you're saying
I never had withdrawals or anything like that. So no, I can stop at any time. I think I was just doing it because that's what I was doing.
And what you're saying is, even though many people may have looked at you and witnessed you drinking, they may have said you're alcoholic.
When I really actually wasn't.
You really actually was an alcoholic, but people would have said that or thought that of you.
Mm-hmm.
That's another profound statement when you're saying, which we started out the show saying, it's in you. It's in you. You have that ability. You have that power to speak things into your life.
And you know, out.
And out of your life. And my thing is, now you talked yourself out of it. Now talk yourself into something even greater. You know, people don't realize, well, I said these words and this happened. Okay, well, say something else that's greater than that, that's going to benefit you even more. And you can benefit from it, prosper from it, grow from it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, well, I said this and that, and guess what? That happened. So are they not getting it, or?
We don't realize that we have that power in our mouth. We don't realize we got that power.
Yeah.
But we have that power. In all actuality, nobody has nothing that they didn't say that they would or that they didn't say that they had. Mm. Everything you have right now, you've said that you was going to have it, and then you said that you wanted it.
Really?
Everything you have right now, you said you spoke it. Name one thing you got that you have not spoke.
I don't know. I don't know. Can anyone else out there think of something they may have that you may have that you spoke on or didn't speak on? That you didn't speak on. If you do, please call 740-383-9944. And I think a lot of times our mouth gets away from us and we don't realize what we're saying.
I don't think none of us have anything we haven't actually spoke into existence.
Spoke into our lives. Whether it's people, places, or things, you're saying, right?
When we were like, oh, I need a job. I'm about to find me a job. What happens? You go find you a job.
Yeah.
But you say it first.
True. True.
You say it first. Oh. I need a new car. My car acting up. Da-da-da-da-da-da. What happens?
You got a new car.
You get tired of living where you... I need to move. I'm trying to move this place. What happens?
You move.
I need some new clothes. You need a new wardrobe.
Yeah.
But everything we have, we spoke it.
So, what's so powerful about this, if some of these people would understand the power that is in their mouths... They can turn away from drugs. Just like they talk themselves into it, they can talk themselves. It's going to take them. I'll change that. It's going to take them to talk themselves out of it.
Yes. But some drugs, you have to realize, you have to get to that point and realize, I need a savior.
True.
I need a deliverer.
Right.
Okay, because mm-hmm. some things, like I said, I've never been on anything that my body was dependent on. So I don't know how that goes. You know what I'm saying? So I really don't know how that goes. I've never been on anything like that. To God be the glory.
Mm-hmm. Boy. I am going to do a show on suicide. I'm trying to get some people here to talk about that. It seems to be on the rise again, and seem like every time school starts, this happens. The bullying. Yeah. And maybe making people feel inferior, making people feel that they're not good enough. It's frightful, and I just do believe we're living in just scary times.
Mm-hmm.
Scary times. It's hard to say what's going to happen, when it's going to happen, who's going to do what, when is the next storm coming that's going to devastate everything almost that's living on it, you know, just like the Bahamas. It totally leveled it.
Ain't nothing there no more.
And that's almost, oh my gosh, I can't hardly even fathom that. The whole island just gone. Wow.
Woo. How y'all think Judgment Day gonna be? That was just like a little piece of land
and
compared,
you know,
to the whole earth.
That's true. And that storm just stayed there and stayed there for days and just wrecked havoc on that island. You know, just wrecked havoc. Wow. Well, anyway, this teen in the Tennessee died by suicide after being outed online. Do you think sometimes that we've gotten too sensitive, or is just the opposition that's against us, or are we just too sensitive? Are we too babyfied? We don't know how to handle what you say. people putting us down. Sometimes we don't know how to handle that. What is your opinion on that?
I kind of think that we just put too much energy in trying to be accepted.
That could be true. Or trying to please everybody or be nice to everybody.
Trying to be accepted. I think we put a lot of energy, too much energy in trying to be accepted. And that's why a lot of us don't know our purpose. Because we're looking at everybody else and trying to, you know, instead of focusing on ourselves. Because a lot of times we don't need to be accepted by other people. We need to accept ourselves.
True.
We need to learn ourselves. Because we don't know ourselves, and we get to hang around different people. We end up doing things we never did before, never thought we would do before, never had in our mind. We see different things, be around different people, different drugs, you know, different means of life, and, you know, all kinds of stuff. And you get introduced to all kinds of things that you really ain't never been around or, you know. And I think we just focus too much on being accepted by people.
Yeah.
And not focusing enough on accepting ourselves.
Right. Wow. They said that the jury is out on this trial. Amber Geiger, the one who shot the young man in the apartment. And I just pray that that did come to light. And if that was true, that that was laid out on the table, the earlier altercation between those two. If that's a true fact, that should be. Not that I want anyone to be going to jail or whatever like that. Or
no, but I'm tired of us being killed for no reason.
True.
He wasn't even outside.
Right. He was in his own place that he pays rent.
And she did not use her key and walked in her, and walked in his apartment and thought it was hers. And that's all I got to say. And just thinking about the time in the morning that they said it was, what was it, like 2-3 o'clock in the morning or something like that? She had worked so many hours and it was in the middle of the night. His door was locked. You would think.
Yeah, you would think. That's for sure.
I would like to think that his door was locked. So how did she get in his apartment?
I don't know. I didn't hear any of the trial. I just heard a little bit of her statement, crying.
Yeah, I heard them ask her one question twice, and she changed her statement. I forget which question it was asking her. But it had a lot to do with her being in his apartment. Like, that's just ridiculous.
Wow. Here's another one. Pediatrician standby meds for ADHD patients, but some say therapy should come first. Now, these are the children that are being drugged because they can't sit still or behave or... You know, and then drugs them, slow them down so they can at least accomplish homework or not disrupting the class. Now, we know that some of our youth are challenged. They may be like kindergarten, preschool, or whatever, and they find it hard to sit down. What advice would you give? Not saying that you're an expert, but what advice would you give a mother or a father or married couple about giving their children drugs because they don't know how to sit down and be still?
I wouldn't suggest it. I wouldn't suggest it because I know that those pharmaceuticals, they carry spirits. And I just would not suggest a dependency on a drug.
Yeah, because
that early, that's what it is. It's a dependency on a drug.
Yeah, because it alters their behavior.
And then when they get older, they're going to learn how to take those drugs a little bit different, because people are crushing up those Adderalls and things like that in those, what are they called? What did they used to call them back in the days? The rupees or whatever they call for the
Ritalin and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. So people would be crushing that up, snorting it like it's cocaine and everything else. I mean, why have a child that's dependent on a narcotic basically at the age of 5?
Right.
3.
Oh.
I think that
you think therapy should be administered first?
I think therapy is good, but not just therapy. I can't imagine a 3-year-old needing therapy unless they've been abused in some mm-hmm. type of way. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But somewhere where they're going to learn structure. Mm-hmm. Sit them in a gymnastics class.
Right.
Where they got to sit down and listen to the instructor and take instructions. I mean, something fun, mm-hmm. something that they like, but it's going to give them some structure.
Right. Absolutely. And when I brought that up, it made me think of the young girl that was arrested last week. I think that was last week, 5 years old, and she was unruly in the school, and they had to call the police. Well, like you said, maybe
6 years old.
6 years old.
But, you know, she wasn't the only one that got arrested that day.
Oh, she
was
wasn't.
There was two. Two of them? 2 6-year-olds that got arrested that day.
Okay. For,
No, they said the little girl had kicked somebody. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the other one did. They didn't even have the other one really on TV, but they did mention that there was 2 6-year-olds that got arrested that day.
Why would you even consider arresting a 5 or 6-year-old child?
For doing
Could they
what
be
kids
that
do?
Unruly?
For doing what kids do. What do kids do? They run around, kick, hit, throw toys. That's what kids do. That's what we did. Chase each other on the playground, even at school and everything else. That's what
we
did.
Yeah. But there was.
Threw balls at each other. I mean, what do you mean? That's what kids do.
There was a respect for teachers, though. We had, you know, I can't say that this is the problem, but we had respect for teachers. Matter of fact, half of us were scared of the teachers. Well, we had fear of our parents,
that starts
too.
At home. I was going to say, they don't get no respect for their parents then.
Right.
Or nobody else does over them.
Right.
Because they have no upbringing and no home structure.
Right.
And drugs can't fix that. That comes from the parents.
Right. No, that was priceless what you just said. Drugs can't fix what hasn't been taught to a child.
Or what you haven't had time to instill in them. Drugs can't fix that.
Wow.
But when we get our children are like a blank slate.
Wow.
When we paint the picture, we want to. We instill in them what we want to instill in them. And True. We don't instill what we don't want there.
Well, thank you, Dacia, for being here with me this hour. Thank you for listening to A Voice of a People, which will be tomorrow at 4:15 to 5. Thank you, all of you who faithfully support the chat and A Voice of a People. Until next time, be blessed. Thank you.
You're listening to WWGH Radio LPFM, Marion, Ohio. For Emmy Award-winning actress and voice of Ursula from The Little Mermaid, Pat Carroll, sharing her experience of being in the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade.
One of the big traditions for a lot of people on Thanksgiving is the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade.
Yes, absolutely, and I was in it 1 year. I played Mother Goose.
Did you?
Yes.
Well, tell us about that.
Well, there was nothing to tell. I was dressed up like Mother Goose, and I was in this thing. And I must say, I had a secret little flask, because it was colder than a bear's ears. And I had a little nip of some good warm stuff occasionally. So I was a very happy Mother Goose by the end of the trip.
Oh.
There, that's a secret let out.
Oh, my. That's a great story. So Mother
Isn't
Goose
that
was...
lovely?
Mother Goose
but
had
oh,
a few
oh, what
ribs.
Fun it was. And the joy of the children and their parents and their brothers and their sisters...